Today we will talk about five common mistakes that a lot of importers make with New Zealand customs clearance. Today you will learn things like ways that an overseas supplier can ruin your compliance with New Zealand authorities, situations when you are paying too much or too soon, how New Zealand customs or NPI by security will charge you, and some other hidden costs that you may not be aware of. Last but not least, there will be a giveaway during the show, so make sure you stay and watch the whole webinar.
Welcome to the show for business owners, proudly brought to you by easyfreight.co.nz. In this show, we introduce successful tools and tactics which you can apply today. Subscribe now and take your business to the next level.
If you want to learn other business tips, then make sure you subscribe to our channel. And by the way, feel free to type your comments during the talk. I will do my best to read every single one, and obviously I will answer. If I miss something, please feel free to type it again, because there will be a lot of comments in the stream. The first thing that we notice a lot of importers are missing is that if you've been trading for a long enough time, at least for a year or more, and you have a good credit history, you have good background, then you could potentially get a credit account with the New Zealand Customs, which means that you don't have to pay import taxes up front, and you could save a lot of money by doing that. Not only it helps with your cash flow, but it will give you extra money when your money will do the work for you, whether you use the money in the business somehow or you simply reinvest them in any other way. If you imagine a consignment worth $10,000 or $100,000 and you have to pay 20% import customs fees, whether it's 5% duty and 15% import GST, then it could be anywhere from $2,000 or more that you will keep in your pocket and use the way you want. But obviously, you'll have to pay it later. Sometimes it could be 2 weeks later. Sometimes it could be 5 weeks later. All depends on your personal circumstances. If you've got any questions about how to get a credit account, then you can type it in the comments below and one of our team members will give you more information, or you can give us a call and we can talk you through the whole process. We can help you in some way so you can avoid common mistakes. Another thing about common mistakes with New Zealand customs is that while you import goods to New Zealand and you got used to paying import duty, you may not realize that you actually are able to apply for a concession code and have your product become duty-free. It's not easy and it's not cheap, but if you do it on a regular basis, say a couple of times or more a year, you could, if it's 5 or 10% in duty and you do the calculations, you could save hundreds, if not thousands of dollars if you apply for a concession code and plan to import your goods on a regular basis. You may wonder, how much does it cost to get a concession code? If it's one product and simple enough, then allow at least $500 for New Zealand Customs Service to consider your application, and then for the time of the customs broker or freight forwarder, which could be same amount, at least $500 or a couple of hundred dollars on top. But in saying that, you will save a lot more if you import goods on a regular basis. Feel free to type your comments down below or any questions about any particular topic. It doesn't have to relate about these five mistakes. If you remember any other mistake that you had yourself and you want to know how to avoid it, feel free to type it now. Coming back to this concession code, how to get it and how to minimize your import duty. Not only have to pay for the service, and it's not guaranteed that you will get it. It will take at least a couple of months to go through the whole process because you would have to make aware interested parties. If there is an industry which relates to your product, they have to have a chance to dispute your duty-free claim, and they will protect because they want to obviously sell their own products, or they've got other reasons, and that's the reason for a duty, to protect local suppliers. That's one of the reasons. Therefore, if they object, you would have to prepare your case, wait for it, and if you've got a solid proof, you may be able to get this concession code. And you would have to supply evidence to prove that your product is going to meet the requirements. So once again, it's going to take a lot of time and paperwork from your side and from the customs broker side. And our team is able to help you as well. If you have any questions, you can send us an email and we will give you some guidance on that. The third mistake that we see that a lot of importers make is that if you see the goods being sold in New Zealand, some importers automatically think, well, I can import these goods. And that's the biggest problem about it, is the confusion. Because while it's been imported maybe last year or last month under certain conditions, some of the goods will require special permission, special documents, special license. And if you've never done it before, it pays to check with the customs broker or New Zealand Customs or New Zealand MPI. What are the import requirements? Do you have to have a license? Do you have some permits to be able to sell the products in New Zealand? There was an interesting case a couple of months ago. It went to court, I believe, where two different brands and two different companies had a dispute. One company was trying to import cereals called Vitabix, and the New Zealand manufacturer has a similar product called Weet-Bix. While they were doing it on a smaller scale in the past, they were able to import Weet-Bix in New Zealand. And I believe they were stopped in the last container because it was a big consignment and the competitor put a stop order and they had to argue who was right, who was wrong. Once again, you have to be careful with these kind of shipments because while you can bring the goods up to New Zealand border, sooner or later you may have a problem with the local supplier if you become a serious competitor to them. The way you can check it, obviously you can talk to a customs broker or to New Zealand Customs, see what's been done in the past. Yeah, you have to be careful with brands, how similar it is, especially with building materials. Will it comply with local council regulations? While you may see a similar product being imported, maybe it's for personal use in small quantities. We don't know, and you don't know. But you have to, if you want to sell it especially, you have to check these things if you want to save a lot of money and hassle. These situations with Weet-Bix, the way you're going to incur a lot of costs because you have to pay for storage while the dispute is happening. And you may not be able even to get your hands on this product, so you lose the stock. Imagine how many thousands is that. I'm a very small-time importer of animal products. MPI often intercepts my package and wants to get them fumigated, which is fine, because its biosecurity is important. My problem is, however, that this process often takes a long time. I'm currently waiting on a parcel to get through, which has arrived in March. When I ring them, they often are not helpful. Is there a way to get this process to move more quickly? Thank you for your question. Yeah, it's a common problem where you don't have control about the government authorities. They could be busy if it's peak season. And if you want to avoid these kind of situations, once again, we don't know the details of this case. Do you have all documents issued correctly to the same importer? Say the person that's bought the goods is the same that's importing the goods, because this could be two different entities and the customs client code have to match with everything. They want to make sure it meets health and safety requirements. To save your time, you want to talk to a customs broker or New Zealand Customs or New Zealand MPI and find out what are the latest requirements, because we all know about a recent case where guns were being stopped and now are not allowed to be imported. So you have to check with the government were there any changes in the last weeks, months since you imported, because there could be new requirements and you know your product may no longer be allowed for one or another reason, or you are missing some of the documents. And this is an evolving process. You have to be a good friend with your customs broker and be in touch or visit your local New Zealand customs office. Please tell me, why is it important to submit the documents before the shipment leaves the port of origin? Thank you, Lily. The reason it is important, because once inside, it is inside the container, there is not much you can do, right? And it's not just about the documents, it's also about the goods. For example, if you want to import samples to New Zealand and your supplier overseas can say, yes, we've done it before and there were no problems, but the rules could change. And to import samples, you have to follow certain rules. For example, you have to label on the packaging that it is samples, clearly not for sale. It has to be in small quantity, it has to be reasonable, and there are other rules you have to meet. If you don't know and it's already done, obviously you have to do it properly on the paperwork. You have to separate your goods and declare it, because if it's not declared on the paperwork and a customs officer will eventually find out, then you will get in trouble. You can get penalties. There is an instant fine of, I believe, $400, and then you could be blacklisted, or you can get further inspections on following shipments, creates extra costs for you, it delays. So that's why it is important to get all your ducks in a row before you pay for the goods. Can you please confirm the tariff concession codes are different from importer, exporter, client codes? Yes. If you haven't done importing ever, then you have to have a client code, and your supplier has to have a client code with New Zealand authorities. Which takes some, if it's a peak season, could take at least a couple of business days. And if you've got an air freight coming in tomorrow and you don't have a customs client code, you will pay for storage charges. At the airport, they charge now at least $300 a day. You've got only one free or day of storage, and then you'd have to pay for storage, unless you've got some other arrangements and you'd have to pay extra to move it to a temporary facility for temporary storage. And you don't want to pay anything extra, so talk to a New Zealand customs officer or New Zealand customs broker to find out what kind of documents you need, what kind of client codes you need, and how to get it. You can get it for free, or you can get it for a small fee from a customs broker. You can ask MPI to supply a copy of the fumigation certificate and find out the requirements for it at the MPI website, or ask a customs broker. Yes. Thank you for this comment. There is a lot of free information nowadays on the government websites, and there are instructions how to complete the basic paperwork, step-by-step guidance. And if you get confused, you can get in touch with us, and we'd be happy to give you any help that you require. Thank you for the question. Do I need to have a customs code for importing household goods? There are two scenarios where you need a customs client code for importing used household goods. If you've got a vehicle, whether it's a car or motorbike, you would have to get a customs client code, even though if you owned it in the past. But if you import used household goods for your personal use and you meet certain requirements, like they have to be used for more than 12 months, then you don't need a customs client code. By the way, if you've just joined us, we are talking about five common mistakes that most importers make when they import or export goods through New Zealand border. If you enjoy this information, I appreciate your thumbs up and subscribe to our show, because we've got these useful interviews and webinars every single week. The next mistake that a lot of importers make is they try to be smarter than New Zealand Customs. They may not even realize that they are making this mistake, because the supplier may underdeclare their value of the goods for one or another reason. This could trigger with New Zealand Customs a hold on your shipment. They could ask you to prove that you've paid this amount. Once again, your future shipments could be stopped. If you try to avoid customs, it's also you will get fines, and you will get in trouble if you do that, with or without help from the supplier, whether you know it or not, because it is ultimate responsibility of the importer to make sure that you comply with all the government laws, regulations, and that you declare the true value of the importing goods, of the true price that you paid for it. Another way that you could get into trouble if you import some goods, and I've already mentioned that, but it points out, reminding everyone that if your supplier adds extra samples without you knowing that, they may do you a favor, but if somebody will discover it, you'll have to pay duty for it. Because say if you've got some samples worth $1,000 in the whole container, then you'd have to pay duty on that, on the $1,000, even though you don't, you think it's a sample and it should be free. But if it doesn't meet the requirements and for some reason you didn't need the goods for $1,000, you would happily to accept it if it would be free, but you don't, you're not going to be happy if you'd have to pay duty and import GST and it's going to be out of your budget or it's going to damage your cash flow. So it's going to be a very unpleasant surprise if you don't tell your supplier your instructions, that you don't want any surprises, and free samples is something that you have to be very careful with. Another thing that customs is very careful about with items that incur a lot of duty, whether it's alcohol or tobacco. Some importers declare low alcohol content or low tobacco content, which means that customs can see the pattern. They know the history of other importers and they compare your shipment to other shipment. And if they see something is weird happening, then they will ask you questions, they will stop your shipment, and your customs fees could double or triple. You won't be able to just walk away. In many cases, they can even seize the goods if it doesn't meet their requirements or they think you're trying to deceive the customs. They can still chase you for this import taxes and you're not going to get your stock. So there are a lot of unfortunate situations that could happen if you don't follow the rules. And I'm not trying to scare you. This is real. This is happening. You, if you run a business, if you do it properly, you're not, you'll be fine. And 99% of the shipments are fine as long as you're not trying to deceive anyone, because it's, to be frank, it's not worth it. I'm just going to check some other questions. If you've just joined us, we're talking about five common mistakes that all importers make, and we appreciate your questions. Feel free to type them now down in the comments below, and if I've missed something, please type it again, because we have a lot of questions coming in. Sean says, I will be receiving one plush toy sample. Do I still need to inform customs of this? I was going to, because it could be any purchased plush toy. You have to declare everything. If it's a low value item, I don't know, $500 value item, it may go through the border without it being stopped. If it comes through New Zealand Post or some other courier company, and you've just been lucky. But you have to declare everything and you have to pay taxes unless you meet certain requirements of these goods being sampled. As I said, different products have different requirements. You have to have a label, not for sale, sample only. Some lipsticks have other requirements. You can find out this from a New Zealand customs office, or you can check with your local customs broker. In New Zealand, there is no GST applicable to buying a home for your family. What if you have the home built overseas and then import into New Zealand? Is it possible to have no GST charged? If it's coming through the border, you have to pay GST. There are certain exemptions. I'm not going to go through the details, but in this case, I'm pretty sure that you'd have to pay import taxes. One of our customs brokers is watching. If I stand to be corrected, then we'll mention that in the notes, but be prepared to pay for it. I'm gonna move to the next mistake. When you import goods like parallel import or a well-known brand from a manufacturer somewhere in Asia, then you have to be careful that it is an authorized manufacturer, because they can tell you anything they want and they will most likely get away with it, because once they've got their money and they've exported their goods, it's going to be your problem to prove it to New Zealand customs or to a local brand that it's not a fake and it's been done properly, you've got the right paperwork. So you have to be careful where you buy your goods from. You can seek testimonials from other New Zealand importers, from other shops, and you don't want your goods to be seized and lose all the stock and money. So you have to be careful with parallel imports. If you've got any other questions, feel free to type them now We will answer every single one during the talk or later. Once again, please join us next week. We will talk about common mistakes with cargo insurance. Do you need cargo insurance? And how to select a freight forwarder or a customs broker, and some of the things that a freight forwarder or a local customs broker is not telling you. Maybe they've forgotten to inform you about these things. And this is a small teaser for you, because I think you will get a lot of value. Make sure you join us next time. And till then, talk to you soon. Thank you for your time. Before you leave, by the way, just remember that we mentioned about the giveaway. So we will honor that. If you listened to us and we appreciate your time, please type down in the comments below what's been your favorite tip throughout the talk, so you can avoid problems with New Zealand Customs. And we will pick a random person from the comments. We will do that at the same time tomorrow on Friday, 3 p.m. And you could be the lucky winner. And we will offer a $200 customs clearance service voucher on any import or export shipment of that's been obviously commercially imported. And we'd be able to help you and give you guidance. Thank you for your time. And don't forget to type your favorite tip. Enjoy the rest of the day.